Delphina here. If you're going to be at Small Press Expo in Maryland on September 13th and 14th, stop on by the Spider-Force table at B2. Our Threads anthologies have works from me, Verithane, Star, and Finn, along with many of our great collective mates. You can get more details about Small Press Expo at smallpressexpo.com. Thanks, and enjoy the episode.
Just do it! Don't let your dreams be dreams. Yesterday is tomorrow. So just do it! Face your dreams! I'm true!
Hello, and welcome to Screen Tones, where we talk anything and everything webcomics. Today, we're going to be talking about buffers. I'm Delphina, I use she, her pronouns, and I make the webcomic Sombulus.
And I'm Crispy, I use the pronouns she, they, and I make the webcomics Ghost Junk Sickness and Lunar Blight.
And I'm Verithane, I use she, they pronouns, and I make the webcomics Geralt and Witchwood.
Okay, so we're not here to tell you how to live your life or make your comic. And if you want to post every comic page as soon as you're done with it, that's valid. But a buffer of comic pages can help you keep your comic on a steady release schedule and set healthy reader expectations and prevent burnout or stress during the times where you can't be at your drawing desk as often. So today we are going to talk about buffers. And so I'm just going to throw this out to folks. What does your buffer look like for your comic? And is it hard to stick to your ideal buffer, or have you ever run out? I'll throw it to you, Crispy.
I'm really proud of our buffer. So obviously we have the advantage of the fact that like Ghost Junk Sickness and Litter Blight, we're a team. There's two of us. We do all the equal work. I've said this a million times in Screen Tones, but you know, we both draw, we both write, both, you know, thumbnail, whatever. So that makes our buffer absolutely long as heck. So we usually have a buffer for about a year and a half. It's usually around that long. Like it could take like either a half a year or go longer. But how we work is that we do a whole entire chapter at a time, because it helps with flow and stuff like that. So the buffer gets made. We do everything in steps. So we write it and then we kind of go back and forth with it. Then we do the whole thumbnail in a whole steps, and then we do all the pencils in one step, you know, so on and so forth, so that everything's kind of cohesive. And with that, because we finish the entire chapter at a time, it makes our buffers quite buff. So it feels good to have something that helps us balance like the other things. So the other thing about being in a team is that we also really want to keep doing more comics. So this helps our kind of work ethic or our output more, because we're constantly doing things on the sides. And I'll just be open with the fact that like comics are not our full-time jobs. And because like our work ethic, our output is that, you know, Space and I like to work on a bunch of projects at the same time. So we're constantly going, and, you know, being open about the fact that like comics is not our full-time job. We have day jobs and stuff like that. So fitting in a buffer that works in tandem with the things that make us money and, you know, comics to keep us happy with that, I think it's just really important, because when things kind of cut down to the wire and you're releasing a page per update, to me personally, that's too much. The pressure gets too intense. And when there's a lot of pressure, I feel the burnout. I don't know. How do you feel about that, Delphi?
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of burnout, like kind of being to the wire. And I think that's a very good system. So like a chapter is about a year for you, or?
It depends. I think a chapter, because like they range, right? From like 45 pages to like 90. It's like, okay, there's no specific page count. But something that's 90 pages will take us like almost a year to get through. And by the time that, like, you know, we finished it, so it takes us about like maybe 2-3 months to do something like that. And that is a buffer for about 6 to 8 months. And then we'll probably be working on pages still in between that. So the buffer just keeps growing.
Yeah. But that's a good point to like have one cohesive chunk of stuff, whatever that looks like for you, as a buffer so that you can have that space and you have it all to look over. And especially if you're doing sort of this batch process that you described, that makes a lot of mm-hmm. sense. I'm going to throw it to you, Thane. What does your buffer situation look like? How does that work?
Well, right now, my buffer situation looks pretty all right. It definitely was not always that way, though, because when I first was getting started doing webcomics with Geralt, all the way back when dinosaurs roamed the internet and I was working on the beginnings of Geralt, I was in school at the time, and the comic was something that I just would bring like everywhere with me in my sketchbooks, and I would just be kind of drawing it all the time. And I had a concept of what webcomics were, but the field was still pretty new at the time. So like I knew that they would have things like update schedules, but I didn't really see that as something that I needed to like stress too much about. So I was making pages in like big batches, and then I would just post all of the pages as soon as I finished them. And I was working at like a pretty blistering speed during those early days, just like, I don't know, fueled by a lot of caffeine and obsession. So my homepage at the time, the way I was manually coding the whole thing with HTML. So every time I added a page, I would have to make a new HTML page and upload it and like re-upload everything else to make sure all the links connected to each other. And I would upload batches of like anywhere between 4 and like 8 pages like in a day. And then like 3 days later, it would be like, there's another 4 pages. And then like, you know, 3 days after that, it'd be like, here's 7 pages. And on the homepage, I had this little like text box where I would update, like I added 4 pages. And then beside that, if it had been less than like a week, I would be like, and I added another 4 pages. And so it's like this little pastiche of like, I've did this many, this chunk. Obviously that pace was not sustainable. I think I kept up that weird approach for probably about 6 to 8 months, and then I was like, okay, you know, webcomics have these update schedule things, maybe I should also have one of those, and maybe I should not just dump every page that I make immediately and start saving them, because at some point in the future maybe I won't be able to make pages this fast anymore. So I set it to a three times a week Monday, Wednesday, Friday schedule. In like, I think I did that, I started the comic in May, and then I implemented the update schedule in like August or so. And it was a good thing that I did, because come December of the same year, school was picking up and everything. And surprise, I couldn't make pages that fast anymore. So having that buffer of pages from when I was like, you know, putting them out like crazy, and then I would like update them more slowly, it kept the whole comic like going while I was, you know, holidays, school things, tons of homework. And then eventually, you know, it kind of provides a little bit of a space between like your actual production and what goes up on the website, which can give you time for whenever life does anything. And it's really handy for that kind of thing. Because after, I think I was keeping up with the Geralt schedule for a good few years in that initial period. But then there was a point where I was, I went on an exchange program and got really busy. And I was like, okay, I can't actually work on the comic at all for like a year. And having the buffer let it keep updating while I was kind of off doing other things. So I didn't really have to put the comic on any formal hiatuses really at all. I think there was one period in 2012 where Geralt actually went on a full hiatus for probably 4 or 5 months before coming back. And ever since that initial decision, I've always tried to have some amount of stored pages ahead of what's going up on the website. There was a period in the finale of Geralt where I started kind of running low on my buffer, and I was actually starting to make pages like within anywhere between like 2 or 3 days to a week before they were going to go up on the internet. And it definitely does feel a lot more stressful. Like you feel like you have less control over what goes into the page, because you got to get it out right now. So like, okay, what if you wanted to spend more time on the writing or massaging out like little story chunks or anything, like, okay, well, you can't because it needs to go up like in 2 days or tomorrow. So when I finished Geralt and got started on Witchwood, I really wanted to have a much healthier buffer. So I actually finished the first 3 chapters in their entirety. And I was like keeping track of exactly how fast they were for me to make. Like, okay, so if this is when I started, this is when I finished the chapter. Just to make sure that like I could set an update schedule that would actually reflect the pace at which I could make the pages. Because my intent is to basically be making pages and posting them at roughly the same rate, but I want to have at least like a minimum of 3 to 6 months in between my current pages and whatever's up on the website. And for a while, I was like a good year and a half ahead of what was up on the website. It's gotten a bit lower since then, and it kind of fluctuates a bit. I did actually reduce Witchwood's update schedule to once a week. It started, I think when I launched, it was twice a week, and I've reduced it a bit just because like life has gotten crazy. So, but that's allowed me to keep my buffer pretty healthy. And another nice like side benefit is that having all these pages stored up means that I can use them as Patreon rewards, because people can read significantly farther ahead if they pledge to me, basically. So I like having them around for that. It's like, by the way, there's a lot more story.
Yes, that's so smart, because I feel like it does both things, right? It gives you the buffer, but then it gives you like, okay, if you really want to read ahead, if you really want to, like, here's the tier where you can pledge to make that happen. And I feel like of the Patreons I hear about for webcomic artists, that early page tier is the one that that really is engaging to read. So like, it's good for everybody, basically, kind of having that sort of buffer. And I think too, just in terms of like starting your comic, because it's interesting, because you've had Geralt and you had Witchwood, and you were able to take a little time to figure out what you want to do with Witchwood, and you had that experience of Geralt to build on. I do feel like the storage of pages that you have before you launch, that is sort of a buffer, but it's not quite the same thing. If you're coming in cold and you're still building a readership and stuff, like, I feel like that burst of pages or whatever you start out with isn't necessarily the same thing as a buffer, but it'll help you for sure just figure things out. I think that's the thing for me too, thinking about my buffer experiences, is that I want space to figure things out. To Thane's point, I want space to figure out the writing. And also, if I want to put a little extra oomph, a little extra time into any one page, I'll feel like I have the space to do that instead of, well, the deadline is right now. But I do feel like I am maybe slightly more deadline driven than you all, because you're talking about year and a half buffers, year buffers. Like, I can do a month. I have a month of buffer at any given time. That's good for me. And right now I don't even have that. So I am kind of feeling the pain and the stress of that. It's not good, but I am very deadline driven, and I need to know that, like, okay, there is some urgency here, or else I'm going to find other things to do with my time. I'm a busy person. And so I do like having a slightly smaller buffer. I feel like that works okay for me. And it also keeps me like connected with, I guess, what the community is experiencing or what my readers are focusing on. Like, I can kind of be in the same place, as opposed to mentally having moved on from that section of the story like a year ago. So I don't know. I think it's a little more fun, possibly a little more stressful, but I do feel like I do need at least a month. And that does help with Patreon rewards. It helps with keeping things on track and being able to make edits. And the couple times where I've run out of buffer and I've just been doing it week to week have just been, yeah, You definitely get burned out very fast, especially when you get to the middle parts of your story where things are coming together and you have to figure things out. You don't want to be contradicting stuff that you did at the beginning. It's just, I feel like it gets harder the further in you go with a long form story, and that just makes the buffer all the more critical. with that, I'm just going to ask, like, what other kinds of benefits does a buffer have for you? Are there any drawbacks that would that people would have with having a buffer that you would warn people about? I'll throw it to you, Crispy.
Definitely what the that point that you made about being mentally away from the story. So Ghost Young Sickness is done as this episode has been recorded. I finished it with space last year, actually, and it's still being updated to the site. It's actually the day that it's being recorded now is the final chapter is being uploaded. I think it's about 100 pages. Regardless, like, you know, there's still a ways to go, but I'm finished it. So it's done for me, but it's not done for a lot of readers who read it like for free on the website. So I catch myself being like, Oh, right, that's happening there. Oh, that's interesting. And I guess not being as engaged in the moment. I think the other thing that kind of is a little different for me in this case, though, is the fact that we're doing two comics at the same time. So I think it's kind of hard to be in the same moment for both of them unless we want to risk a little bit more burnout being that close and page uploads. So I think that we have to be way much more strategic about the stuff that we produce and the pace that we do it in. Because I personally have had, you know, a very rough time in the last couple of years. And that buffer has absolutely saved my biscuits. You know, there were times where I couldn't draw for a while because of, you know, life happening. And having that buffer was a godsend. Like, it helped so, so much, and it didn't feel bad. And one of the things that I feel like Space and I can openly brag about is the fact that we've never, ever missed an update from Ghost Junk Sickness in the 10 plus years that it's being uploaded to the site. And, you know, I think buffers and, you know, definitely the work ethic for that. And it's just why that we're always kind of working ahead. And I guess that's a little like, we're always thinking of, well, something bad might happen. And that's kind of kept us paranoid to continue. But, you know, I'm fond of it. It's something that's helped us as far as, you know, creating other stories, because that's our biggest thing, is that we don't want to just be making one webcomic. We have a lot of comic ideas, and buffers are really great to kind of balance that creative stuff. Because we've talked about this in other episodes where sometimes you'll have like the brain space for certain steps in creating, because obviously comics, a lot of work. You have like the writing stage, the drawing stage, the thumbnailing stage. You know what I mean? Like, you have all these stages, but they require different kind of brain waves.
Energy, yeah.
To get into it. And I find that having that buffer there, it helps me focus on what I have space for that day. And I don't feel like, okay, I have to get the inking done this day because literally I need pages by tomorrow. Like, we've never run into that. We used to in our old days. And I could say this as like a comic veteran. We've been there where it was like, you know, we used to do the pages a week and then upload them as a go. And it was fun. It was very fun because you are pretty engaged. And I guess like the other drawback is the fact that, like, this is a Crispy personal thing. And I guess, like, you know, a bit of a acknowledgement to what's going on in the larger kind of media aspect as far as like TV shows and stuff like that, where they don't want the readers to kind of guess what's going on. They have their pulse on their reactions too much. And sometimes I find that creators do that too much, where they're paying too much attention. They're like, oh, people guess that, I have to write it out or something like that. That brings me no joy. I'm just like, my comic, our story is the way that it is because it is. Unless there's something in there that's like, wow, that was completely dumb and it makes no sense or whatever. Like, obviously that's going to get fixed because webcomics are amazing and that can happen. But, you know, I want the true intent of the story from us to get to the readers without those like changes while seeing them live react. So that's something that we don't take part in just because we do the buffer and we work very, very far ahead. But I don't know if that's a detriment. I don't know. How do you feel about that?
I don't know. It's like, because I know there are specific comic formats that, like, I don't know if Homestuck started that way, but the project that he did before Homestuck was like Problem Sleuth. And like, that was like reader submitted, mm-hmm. like questions or directions. So they actually did have to wait until they got a reader response to go in a certain direction. And yeah, that feels like a type of animal that would be hard to maintain the energy for over a longer period of time. It feels like it would be a fun one shot or like a smaller project, but the energy investments to that degree might be tricky. And then if you're not doing that kind of story at all, if you're just doing a normal thing and you're like, but wait, what if the readers like this character and I need to put more of him in because they're the ones that people are reacting to? I think that's a quick way to lose your vision mm-hmm. and like kind of doubt yourself and your direction and maybe lead you down the path of following the squeakiest wheel because it's getting the grease, yeah. right? So yeah, even though you might have 100 silent readers who really wanted to read what you were already doing, maybe the one guy who was loud in the comments is getting more attention and you're misinterpreting that as the direction that everybody wanted you to go yeah, in.
Exactly. Exactly. I think about it like that. And it's something that's, it kept me humble creating because it's just like, you know, I think it's a lonely time most of the time creating comics. There's always that discussion of like, I wish my comic had one and stuff like that. So if you do like someone's comic, definitely tell them, hey, it's pretty cool. I like what you're doing or whatever. But with that, like, it's also good to remind yourself that, like, you know, at the end of the day, you got to do it for you. And, you know, what is your vision? What are you trying to say? And you can get lost in the sauce of like following the squeaky wheels and changing updates to kind of match that. So I don't know. I don't know if I'm personally missing out because sometimes you can get a lot of traction from that when you're engaging directly with the readers and being like, I'm gonna add this silly guy and he's gonna be such a big part because you guys like this silly guy, or I don't know, you know, I'm just gonna go on this tangent, we're gonna pause the main story because, you know, you liked the silly guy or something, I don't know. And some readers will be really into that, me not so much.
It's funny because this whole like thing, to go on even more of a tangent and sound a bit of a nerd alert, it reminds me of what happens in a lot of manga production where the publishers will put out polls at the end of every major story arc to be like, who's your favorite character? And like there's rules in I'm talking like shonen anime specifically, like stuff for Shonen Jump. The contracts with the artists stipulate that they've got to introduce like this many new characters in each of the arcs. And then at the end of the arc, they'll determine who was the favorite of the new character. And that one's going to get to stick around because they want to expand their roster and have more stuff to make merchandise of. And so if you see those like at the end of like some books, like volumes of manga, there'll be like artwork drawn, like here's the fan poll, like here's all the rankings of the different characters, like which one's number one? Are there any like, you know, which one is your favorite? They do this whole poll system.
Yeah, it's very rooted in capitalism and very like, I don't know, man. Webcomics are free. We gotta keep this free. We gotta keep people like having their own vision. I think that's important. But yeah, buffers.
Buffers, right.
I think they can. Yeah. What do you think about buffers, Thane? What benefits and drawbacks do you see in buffers?
Well, I think I mentioned earlier the thing about Patreon where I like having the buffer lets me kind of leverage it as like a reward because it's not going to go up on my website all at once, but people can still read it. And I really like I have a little like Discord section where people can like the people who are in that tier can talk. And when I post like a new chapter, it's really neat seeing like the theories and speculation and stuff like that, like ahead of time, and just be like, oh, let's see. And it gives me a little bit of like an advanced kind of notice on like, okay, like how are things reading? Like what are the things that confuse people? While I was in those early stages, I'm doing a bit less of it now just because there's now so much comic that asking for like detailed feedback it's a lot to expect of people at this point. So I don't do it as much. But in the early chapters, part of why I was really trying to work ahead very far was so that I could share those chapters with people and have them like read through it and just kind of let me know like where things are maybe not reading or like if things are confusing, just basically have like a critique and feedback thing available ahead of time before I put it all up on the website. And it starts feeling like it's too late to edit, even though I know it's not actually too late to edit. When you do make major changes to something already live, it definitely has a different kind of you sort of have to warn people like, by the way, this thing that you read, it's a little different now. So keep an eye out. So being able to kind of work out those like things and make revisions to the story. There have been several times where I had a big buffer built up and I was working on more pages and then I changed something in a future scene or adjusted my outline or like I looked back at an older scene and I was like, you know, something about this is bothering me. I think I need to change things. It's like not exciting enough or it's confusing or like I could add some juice. And I would go in to my buffer, like pages, a scene that was completely finished, could be completely finished, but I just want to make it better. And I could totally edit that. And I don't have to like, I don't have to worry about what it's going to look like on the website, like re-uploading pages and then like making it a whole thing, like it's changed, by the way. So the only people who see that sort of thing now are my patrons. And one other point where I really like my buffer was like, it served a very specific practical purpose was the finale of Chiralt. I had been working on like there was a period where pages got really hard and I was doing them like, you know, within a couple days. And then once I started planning for kind of that final, like the conclusion of the series, and I knew I was going to print it. And one of the things that I did deliberately was I tried to push my buffer ahead by at least like a month or so. I think it was more like 2 months, so that I could have enough pages to keep updating the website while I was doing the Kickstarter for the final book. And I wanted to launch the Kickstarter after the book was basically done. So I needed to have all the pages finished before I launched that. And the buffer made sure that I could do that. I didn't want to be running a Kickstarter while my comic was not actually updating, because that's where it's one of the main places where people find the campaign in the first place. So if that was actually stopped and not updating at all, I feel like I would have lost touch with a lot of readers. And to kind of go into the other side of things, like the drawbacks, what Delphi was saying earlier about like needing that deadline and the immediacy, I feel like when I have a long buffer, my brain definitely also works that way. So I have to kind of trick myself and be like, okay, well, it's not going to go up on the website for like, you know, a few months to a year, but like, I do want to like update. I want to keep updating like for Patreon. I try to find like ways of keeping myself going, but definitely the urgency of knowing that it needs to be like the actual for real hard deadline is so far away. It definitely has made my production rate slow down a bit now that I'm out of that initial kind of early project honeymoon phase where all the energy was keeping me going. So it's something that I have been thinking about, and I'm debating increasing my update pace to twice a week, just to get like sort of force myself to grapple with that a little sooner. I feel like the once a week is like, it's nice and easy. I could definitely keep that up. There's lots of once a week webcomics, but I really want to go back to kind of twice a week. And I feel like at a certain point, that's going to start pushing me to step up the production again.
Yeah, I'm in the same place. Like I went to once a week, but I think my story reads better at twice a week. And I'm just like, oh gosh, I gotta build it back up. I gotta figure out a way to get like my buffer back so I can have that space. And I guess that's just kind of leads me into my last thing. Like, what's your advice to someone who's trying to make a healthy buffer of pages, but they've lost it for some reason, life happened or whatever, or they never had it in the first place, and for one reason or another they can't seem to manage to keep it going?
That's hard. That's a hard question to ask or answer, because like everybody works different, right? Like, you know, Thane talking about having that honeymoon energy that keeps you going and making a lot of the comics really fast. Like, I see that so much in the webcomic community. I mean, like, I'm people, I've done that. Like, you know, when you're starting a new project, you're like, let's go. That definitely helps. But, you know, gauging for the long kind of run, it's difficult. As far as, like, what we do, a lot of planning helps with the way that I work with space, because we're able to gauge the length and the work required to pull off the stories that we want to do. Like, this doesn't stop, like, rewrites or additional scenes that we're putting into the story either. Like, just because we're so far ahead, that doesn't mean, like, that we're, like, never going to touch anything that we've created. This doesn't mean that we're going to stop anything, like, touching any of the work that we've uploaded or anything like that. But it does mean that, you know, we're not as connected to a lot of things as far as, you know, engaging with the readers. But building that up and keeping it going, I'm going to have to say this, but a lot of it comes to that self kind of discipline that you need to make comics happen, and figuring out what do you like about your process and what do you not like about your process. I think I said this in a previous episode already, but if you do not like specifically this one part of comics, you don't have to do it. If you hate inking, you don't have to ink your comic. I'm giving you permission to throw that step out. You do not have to ink your comic if you absolutely hate that step. I don't know why you're inking or anything like that. And that'll help, you know, get the process done a little bit easier and pave that way to make more buffers. I think it's just figuring it out and seeing if comics and that process actually works for you too. A lot of it is figuring it out. It took us 2 years to figure out, 2 to 4 years actually. It was a long time to figure out what actually works while we were creating Ghost Shank Sickness. And that just made us more powerful making the other comics as we go along. Just, you know, understanding how we create, how fast we do it. And I don't like talking about speed, because I don't like giving that advice to people, is that you have to be fast or anything like that. I want people who listen to this episode to walk away knowing that a large part of creating comics is how you engage with creating comics. It's just how you engage with the process of all of these steps, and if it works for you. If it doesn't, how do you work around it? How do you cut it out? And, you know, it won't make it as daunting, because I see that a lot. I see a lot of, like, oh, I'm in the thumbnail stage, or oh, I have to write. And I'm just, why are you beating yourself up so much with this? It sounds miserable.
Yeah, I totally hear what you're saying about, like, well, okay, I don't have, like, maybe there's a way to, like, not ink, but, like, I have to ink because it looks better that way. And, like, there is something to be said about clarity. You want to be able to make sure your art is clear and easy to read. And if skipping a step is going to compromise that, that would be something I would be reluctant to do. But there are so many options to be able to work around that. There are so many ways to change your process and be able to, like, say, okay, I can find a way to be clear without this step. This actually might be a little more exciting for me. So I'm going to just try some things. I'm going to do some experiments, take some time, and try to make my page in a different way and see what happens. And you never know what you're going to discover that way. And you might find your most favorite process in the world is something completely different from what you thought you needed to do. So I think that's so key, to be able to, like, figure out your process and then, like, make it enjoyable. Because to your point, it's not about speed. Mm-hmm. It's about whether or not it feels like a slog, because you will drag your feet if it feels like a slog. But if it doesn't, you won't. It's not about the amount of time. It's about how you're feeling.
Yeah. And like you said before, it's a free thing. It is, you know, we're doing this with our free time. And I think that it's just, you just got to enjoy it. And I think understanding that process, and then I guess advice for me specifically that worked, is dividing it up into what works for the brain during those times. So it's just like, okay, I know that I'm going to go into writing mode, and I'm going to bring up things that help me write. I'm going to get my playlist. So I'm going to go and do this, that, and the other thing. And now I'm in the zone, and I'm not going into other steps until this zone is complete. And now that this is done, I'm going on to the next step. So it's this nice assembly line. That's how it works for us anyway.
I think that's a pretty good strategy, and that's probably the main thing that I feel like all the major points have kind of been covered already, but like I'll just kind of lend a note of support to some of these because like yeah, my well, like that whole thing about like breaking it down into a different process, like with Chiralt, I would do a lot of like just one page at a time. All right, I'm going to draw this page and I'll finish it, and then I'll draw the next page and then I'll finish it. And that becomes a bit of a staccato way of working. So I'm trying to, a lot of people will have different methods of creating that gel better or worse for them, and figuring out what kind of creator you are, because some people are great at doing that kind of one, like look at one page at a time thing. But I definitely find that I like to get into the zone of the part of the process that I'm in. And with Witchwood, I formalized it a lot more. I was paying a lot more attention to like where each chapter would begin and end. And I would try to thumbnail out the whole thing before I moved on to kind of the next step of the inks. And then I would try to like, or sorry, the sketch. And then I would try to sketch the whole thing before I moved on to the inks and so on. Depending on the length of the chapter, sometimes this process starts to break down a bit, because the early chapters were all like, you know, 30 to 40 pages long, which is pretty reasonable. But when I started hitting chapters that went like 60 pages, it's like, if I thumbnail this whole thing, I'm just going to be doing only thumbnails for forever. And I do like a bit of variation in the process. And if too much time goes by in between those phases, it can actually start to kind of hurt like my personal attachment, not attachment, but like my immersion, I guess, in it. Because if I'm outlining, like that part is so much fun. It's like it's where all the brainstorming happens and all the like, yeah, I'm telling a story. And scripting is similar. But if I finish up a script and then I start doing the thumbnails and then I start doing the sketching and I start doing the inks and then I do all the like, you know, the flat colors and the shading and the effects and the lettering, and I only go back to like scripting or outlining or those parts of the process after like several months have gone by, I will have forgotten a lot of the stuff that was in there and like what that kind of overall story flow is. And it'll take a lot more time to kind of jump back in and re-immerse myself in all that. I have to reread like all the notes that I had in the past and like get myself caught up. So keeping the batches a little smaller more recently, I've been finding has been helping to keep me apprised of sort of where things are going, like what's happening right now, where I am in the story. Because if I, with a 60 page chapter, like it's going to take a good few months for that whole thing to be finished. And I don't want to totally forget everything else that I had planned and like all the emotions that I was feeling while I was writing. I like to try to keep those as kind of close to the surface as I can. So figuring out like if you like doing batches, the size of batch definitely makes a difference in how that process can look.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like there's a lot to be said for just being able to try things one way, try things another way, and then like compare and contrast. Like, what parts of this did I like? What parts of this did I hate? And formulate your process.
One thing that I guess I also want to say about that whole like advice for trying to keep a buffer going is be careful about like putting it on break for really long periods of time. Often sometimes it can't be helped, because like every delay or slowdown might have a totally different reason. It could be that like something is happening in your life and you just can't make comics right now, and like that's okay. Sometimes you just have to wait that out and then kind of come back to things when you're actually free. If it's a matter of like burnout or like energy levels fluctuating, then like looking at potentially the reasons why that might be happening. If maybe the pace is too fast and you need to slow it down, all of these things, like there's different strategies you can do. You can look at your process. But if you put the whole thing on like a hiatus a bunch of times in a row, it gets harder and harder every time to kind of get back on the horse afterwards. And trying to, like, even if the comic itself is not updating, like it's a break in that sense, if you don't keep some sort of habit of creation going in the background, it's going to get increasingly difficult to return to it, because webcomics are really, they're a marathon, and getting momentum is like, it's pretty important to keep the whole thing going for a long-term kind of project.
Yeah, that's true. I know a lot of people take breaks between chapters. I know I'm one of them, and I took a longer break than normal this year because I started a new job and things were very busy for me. And that momentum, trying to get that back after like 4 or 5 months of not updating and not thinking about the comic, like, that's a lot. So there's so much of this that's just boiling down to like, know your process, know where your energy is, know what you can do on a consistent basis at this time in your life. And with that, I think we're pretty good. So yeah, just keep going with your buffer, keep experimenting with different things, and try to do the best thing that's best for your mental health, I guess, is what it boils down to. Anyway, I've been Delphina, and you can find my webcomic Zombulous at zombulous.com.
And I'm Crispy. You can find my works at ghostjunksickness.com and lunarblight.com.
And I'm Verathane, and you can find my webcomics at chiralt.sevensmith.net and witchwoodcomic.com.
Time to get buff!
Buff,
I'm gonna go work out.
Thank you for listening to Screen Tones, a webcomic podcast. You can find all our episodes at screentonescast.com. We've got a couple links over there to our Ko-fi and merch shop, where your support will help us create more episodes and keep us talking about anything and everything webcomics. You can also find us on YouTube, Blue Sky, Tumblr, and our Discord server. Thank you so much for listening, sharing, rating, and supporting, and we'll see you next time.